Hello, everybody. Welcome back to day two of the 2017 International Conference on Patient-Centered Care at Plaintree. This is a Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. I have with me today Kevin Clapp, Experience Coordinator, Internal Communications Specialist at Shore Medical Center. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Matt.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I understand you're going to talk to us about three roommates, powdered eggs, and a teddy bear.
I am. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So before we get going, let's just get a little bit about your background.
Well, I work at Shore Medical Center in Summers Point, New Jersey. It's about an hour outside of Philadelphia. I've been at Shore for about 6 years, but prior to that, I worked in newspaper journalism for about 20 years, working at papers up and down the East Coast.
Very cool. So let's learn a little bit about the three roommates and the powdered eggs.
Let's, get started. Before that, I've struggled a lot with how do you lead into this story today for a couple of different reasons. One, by nature, and I've got a few people here today who would probably attest to this, I'm very quiet. I'm not one who cares and shares a whole lot, but there are a few subjects that I get very passionate about. One, you've talked about my family. I can talk about them all day. The other thing I can talk about is stories and storytelling. That goes back to my journalism background, and I love unpacking the story, finding the details that make people connect. I love the power of story to connect and to inspire. But that also leads into the second struggle that I've had when preparing for this today, because I wondered, did my story matter? My story is not about the grand gesture. It's not about something large, transformative moment. It's not about life and death. It's about small moments. And I think that's why my story matters and why it resonates and why I've really latched onto it. And because it is built on individual, small, tiny steps that really have informed how I approach my role at Shore, being non-clinical, but still struggling and trying to connect with patients and family members every day. So it's appropriate that my story does start very simply with a lump in the throat. I grew up in Connecticut, actually, New England. I was born in Massachusetts, a town of Tollens, about halfway between Boston and New York. One morning when I was 6 years old, it was about 1981, maybe the spring of 1982, I woke up and I felt a little lump in my throat. It was odd. I reached up to grab it, and there was actually literally something the size of a golf ball lodged in my throat. It hadn't been there the night before. It was there when I woke up the next day. I walked down the hallway, narrow hall, down, showed my mom. And in my family, we have this really kind of odd sensibility when medical things happen. A couple years after this particular story takes place, my brother and I are having a snowball fight. My brother runs into the shed. He says, "Oh, catch this." He throws a hammer at my head, and it bounces off of my eye socket. We didn't go to the ED. We sat in the hallway and took a picture. Hey, Ed, go put your fist up next to Kevin's face, and we're going to take a Polaroid. But in this instance, it had to have been serious, because my mom took me immediately to the physician, Dr. Schwartz's office, two towns over in Rockville. We walk in, and what I loved about that doctor's office, my pediatrician's, other than the toys in the waiting room, which were awesome, didn't have any of those at home, but whenever I went to see him, he always had the fix. I was getting vaccinated. I didn't like getting a shot, but I knew that I was going to be better when I left him. But in that particular instance, he took a look at my throat and said, "I can't help you. I'm going to refer you to an ENT. Small town, ENT's right down the hallway. You can hang a right out of pediatrician's office down this real narrow, dark hallway that felt very constricting. Walking down it, not knowing what you're going to find out at this next office door. I go into the ENT, they look at me and say, "Okay, well, yeah, that's got to come out." It's something called a thyroglossal duct cyst. If you don't know, when we're all developing embryonically, we have something called the thyroglossal duct. And the cells that form your thyroid gland travel down that duct and to form the thyroid. Thyroid forms, that duct dissolves. Most of the time. Sometimes it sticks around, decides to have some fun. Little pockets develop, fluid can gather in that. You can develop a cyst, thyroglossal duct cyst. It is completely benign. And if you went to get it treated today, it would be an outpatient procedure. But in 1981, it was a 3 or 4 day hospitalization. And I couldn't even pronounce thyroglossal duct cyst, let alone understand what it meant and that it was benign and that it was okay. All I knew is I was scared and I was going to the hospital and I was 6 years old and I didn't know what to expect. Hospital was right next door to this medical office building where I had my pediatrician and I had my ENT visit. I had a 4 day hospital, 3 or 4 day hospitalization. You know, I remember four things clear as day about that experience. I remember going and bringing my teddy bear with me because I wanted to feel a little bit safe. But you know, every morning when I woke up while I was in the hospital, my bed was right here, right to my right. There was a chair and my dad was sitting in the chair. And he was there to have breakfast with me every single morning. Eggs. A simple thing, but I remember it. I didn't get eggs very often at home. I've got high cholesterol, so those were verboten. So I took every opportunity to eat these eggs in the hospital. Even though they were kind of powdered, they had the consistency of like tofu with just a touch of cardboard. At our hospital here, sure, the food is much, much better. I can promise you that. But I remembered in those moments, my dad was there and I'm eating breakfast with him and I felt very, very safe. And the second thing I remember about that experience was one of the days that I was in it was either my mom or my healthcare, my nurse, whomever said, you've got to get up, you've got to go out, you know, look out the window. Now, my window overlooked a parking lot. There was nothing to see there. There were a couple of trees, maybe there were some leaves. So I didn't understand why you have to get up, go out, look out the window. But I was dutiful, I'm 6 years old, I'm not gonna do what I'm told. I got up, I looked out, and staring up at me from the parking lot were my grandmother, two of my cousins, and my brother, just waving at me. 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops, maybe. You know, there was no child visitation, 1981 Rockville General Hospital. So the only way that they could come and support me was by driving down and staring up through the window. I felt very loved in that moment for many, many reasons, not the least of which my grandmother had to drive an hour from Western Massachusetts. She was not a driver. They had a Hornet, very small, dingy, grungy looking car. So for her to take the time to get behind the wheel, which she wasn't comfortable with, pick up these two cousins of mine, drive down the hour, pick up my brother just for 5 minutes, a 5 minute connection through a window in about 50, 60 feet, meant the world to me. Felt very loved in that time. Third thing that I remember about this experience is if I was in the hospital for 3 days, I had three different roommates. The first day, my roommate was an infant, and they cried constantly. There was no connection, there was no talking, there was no nothing. It was just an awkward feeling. But it was nothing compared to day two, where my roommate could have been 35, 45, 25, They were not six. We didn't have a whole lot of common ground. I remember there was one television in the room. I wanted to watch cartoons, and he did not. I think he won out on the remote that day. But the third day, my roommate was a little blonde-haired girl, about my age. And I don't remember anything other than the color of her hair and the fact that she smiled. And for that entire day, we talked, and we laughed, and we got along, and the one thing I didn't think about was the reason I was in that bed, to have that cyst removed. That just meant the world to me. And finally, the fourth thing, the most impactful thing for me in that experience is that I told you I brought my teddy bear in. I was born given a teddy bear. It was my blanket. I was Linus. That was my thing. Went with me everywhere. And by the time I went to the hospital, my bear was threadbare. It had its patches were all popped seams and stuffing popping out. When I went into surgery, one of my caregivers, one of my nurses, decided to take that bear and patch its paws out so that when I came out of recovery and I was healed, my bear was healed. Now, I forgot about that story for about 25 years. It wasn't until I came to shore and got involved with our new employee orientation and I started to struggle because I would talk about Plane Tree and patient-centered care and I would go through by the numbers. This is how Shore's journey started. This is what we're all about. This is how we do it. This is why we do it. But it didn't resonate with me. I needed to find a way to connect I needed to find the power of the story to connect, create shared meaning, and inspire. And then I remembered that story. And it's funny because each month I tell that story, I tell it a different way because another detail comes back to me. Last week I thought about the television in the room the second day with the really weird, awkward, nonverbal guy next to me. The week before that or the month before that, I thought about that hallway down to the ENT and how the carpet was really late 70s, early 80s, dark, and the hallways were really dark and brown and just narrowing, and just how that constricts on my memory. So I'm unpacking something different about this every day, and it reminds me why I love story, why I love connecting with people, these small details that matter the most. We think so often about story and storytelling and the grand gesture. And grand gestures are great, but they are so exceedingly rare. It's important to understand that our environmental surroundings matter in ways small and large. So if we're walking in and interacting with a patient or a loved one and we take just a simple seat at a chair, that can shift the entire experience in ways that we can't comprehend, but will mean the world to the patient or the family member that we're talking to. So that's why I tell that story at orientation, because I want to inspire people. I want to inspire them to find their own stories. My story is great. If people want to use it and rally around it, that's fantastic. But we all have our stories, and they don't have to be a fully formed story like that. They can be a vignette. It can be just one simple embrace that you remember. It can be just a touch or a connection that you felt. I tell that to inspire other people. I honestly, selfishly tell it to inspire myself, because in the one thing that surprised me about being in healthcare, not being native to it, is how heavy and deep and difficult it can be for all levels of healthcare employee. I'm not clinical. I don't spend a lot of time at the bedside, but I do feel that stress and I feel that weight. And I use this to power through, to say, you know what, you're doing good work here. You're touching people in ways that make a difference in their experience and in their lives. And if people can rally around their own stories, it will make everyone's experience that much better.
Well, that was great. You know, I choked up a little bit when you were talking about your grandma and how she came down to see you. And I'm just wondering, as we start to come to a close here, do you have maybe any closing thoughts for parents either here or listening at home that may have a child facing a similar situation?
I think we need to remember that they have so much uncertainty in their minds that you, as a parent, you know, I remember bringing my son, used to have just these awful croup coughs, and going to the emergency department to get injections for him and just being completely freaked out. The idea of taking a moment to center and take a breath, which is very difficult in that moment because all you're worried about is your child and your child being in distress and wanting to help and heal them. Sometimes the best thing that you can do as a parent is just take that deep breath and realize that you've got to be their rock. And hopefully that caregiver will be your rock. But you can also derive a lot of strength from your child and the strength with which they approach the situation.
And we all need to remember to take that deep breath. He is Kevin Clapp, Experience Coordinator, Internal Communication Specialist at Shore Medical Center. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much, Matt.
And we really appreciate him sharing his story. I'm Matt Cavallo. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast, live here at Plaintree. We look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon. Thank you, Kevin.